It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
So glad that you guys are here today. Let's see. Oops. I just shut down something I wasn't supposed to shut down. So anyway, super glad you're here. Super glad that some of you guys are going to be spending some holiday time with the family, which is most important. Some of you guys, as you're traveling out there, be careful. It could be just a crazy time, depending on where you are. Not just where you're at, meaning not because the road is slick, but, you know, there's just crazy people out there. Went to the mall yesterday, and the line wrapped around the block almost. It seemed like to go on forever, and this is just people trying to get into Chick-fil-A, of all things. It's like, man, I just, you know, first of all, God bless Chick-fil-A, right? I mean, that's kind of what you want. You want people that are willing to wait in a line, but man, I'm just not willing to wait in a line for Chick-fil-A or for any filet, matter of fact. All right, great show. Glad you're here. And let's start with the quote of the day. The quote of the day comes from... Where did it go? Oh, there it is. Tony Robbins. The only limit to your impact is your imagination and commitment. The only limit to your impact is your imagination and commitment. And that is from Tony Robbins. All right. As I mentioned, got an exciting show. We have Allison Shapira on the show. And I'm excited to have her on the show. She's going to be, we're going to be talking about her book, Speak with Impact. Allison Shapira is the author of Speak with Impact, How to Command the Room and Influence Others, CEO and founder of Global Public Speaking. Allison was trained as an opera singer and teaches public speaking at Harvard Kennedy School. Allison, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. Great to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. And, you know, obviously got to ask you, how do you go from opera singer to training speakers? I guess it's not that big of a leap, but it's definitely kind of a weird, you know, transition. Talk about this.
It looks linear in hindsight, but it didn't seem so at the time. Growing up, all I wanted to do was sing opera, and then I lost my passion for it when I got to college studying opera, and I wound up working in the field of diplomacy instead as a diplomatic speechwriter. And I realized everything I had learned as a singer actually made me a pretty good speaker and an even better coach of other speakers. And so almost by accident, I was able to repurpose those musical skills for a speech capacity. And then the business took off from there.
Yeah, I like that. I love that. Yeah. And that's, you know, I think that that probably happens to a lot of us, right? You lose your passion for something and just like a lot of businesses, you have to pivot. And, you know, I think it's a great blessing to be able to take the skills that you've already developed and be able to pivot and use them for something else. And in this case, to start training and helping people speak. All right. So tell us about your new book, Speak with Impact, How to Command the Room and Influence Others. Why write this book? There's other books out there about speaking. What inspired you to write this one?
There are a lot of great books out there, but over the past 15 years, once I made that transition from opera to public speaking and then went from diplomacy to academia and then into the corporate space, I realized that I had a very unique methodology and unique perspective given the diversity of experiences I had had. And what I found is, and especially while teaching a course on public speaking, I realized there wasn't one book that would walk you through the process of writing, practicing, and delivering a speech or presentation. And I also realized that the people I worked with most were moving into positions of leadership, either within their company or they were leaving their company and starting their own business. And as they moved into a leadership position, they went from needing technical skills to needing communication skills in order to build relationships and be successful. And I didn't see a book out there that was both practical and purpose-driven with the idea of exercising leadership with your voice. So I decided to write the book. And I'm very happy with how it turned out because I wanted something incredibly practical that people could apply immediately that would also inspire them in their leadership journey in order to want to move into leadership and find that passion to serve as a leader. That's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, no, and I like that. I like the fact that you had your unique twist on it. I think that's important when putting out any book, really, but I like that. All right, so let's talk about this. What are the most important things to keep in mind when preparing a talk or a speech?
I always recommend people ask three questions before they write a speech or presentation. And it doesn't matter where they are in the world, what industry they're in, what language they're speaking. I always recommend the same three questions. The first question is, who's your audience? You always start with an understanding of who you're speaking to instead of just thinking, well, what do I want to say? So when you understand who your audience is, you use language that will resonate with them, that will inspire them to take action. So it may not be about using the technical jargon of your industry. It may be about speaking in clear, concise, persuasive language instead of the jargon. And we understand what language to use when we know who our audience is. The second question is, what's your goal in this speech or presentation? Every speech is an opportunity to influence people's behavior, to change the way they think about an issue, to change the way they act. And so understanding in advance what the possible implications are of your speech helps you be very clear while you're writing the speech. And it also helps you end with a call to action. For entrepreneurs, it could be putting a specific number behind what they're looking to raise and what they're going to use it for. Whereas inside a company, it could be a very clear call to action for leadership or for your employees on what to do with the information you've just given to them. So understanding the goal is critical in writing a persuasive, impactful speech. And then the third question is the least obvious, but the most powerful. And the third question is, why you? Why do you care about the subject, about what you do, about your audience? And what this why you question causes you to do is look inward to determine why you care about this subject. And when you connect with that authentic drive, then it reduces your nerves because you're more confident in your sense of purpose. And it also helps you find language, anecdotes, stories that are more personal to you and, as a result, more persuasive to your audience.
Yeah, yeah. You know, listening to that, why is it important to you? I think that's something that I've never considered, right? But to me, it makes a lot of sense. Why is this important to you? And obviously, the whole thing about knowing your audience, and I think that's super important. Knowing your call to action, because your call to action could be anything from, you know, sign up to get my newsletter, to go to the back of the room and buy stuff, to, you know, go out there and take massive action and, you know, and change your life or whatever it is. But you have to have as you said, some kind of call to action. I think it's important.
Right. You want a specific call to action that has to be appropriate for your audience.
Sure.
So you may not want something as overt as buy my product, but it could be, what's the change that you want to see in your life? I'm asking you to make a commitment today to make that change. And whether it's working with me or working with somebody else, I want you to make that commitment. So you're using language that will resonate with your audience and get them to take action. And the strength of the ask depends on who they are.
Yes. Yes. Well, and you know what? I'll even say that, and I think that the strength of the ask also, now that you brought this up, or at least put it on my radar, is why it's important to you. Why is it important, you know, for people to take action and do this? Well, it's important to me because it'll do this or that for them as well, right? I mean, not to be, you know, I mean, but yeah, I think why. Why is such a great question to ask? You know, I think that's a great question. I love that. All right. So here's the big one, because there are supposedly people out there that would rather die than give a public talk or public speak. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it's, you know, I would say that most people get some level of nervousness when it's time for them to speak. excuse me. What's your advice for these people who are just, let's say, for lack of better terms, not really excited about public speaking? Is there a mantra? Is there a routine or something to help people maybe not be so scared?
Yes, and I actually have a pre-speech routine on my website that I send people to people so that they can watch it 5 minutes before their speech to calm their nerves and center themselves. I'll walk through some of that content with you. It's also available at globalpublicspeaking.com. The idea is there are a lot of things that make us nervous. Nervousness is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And if you're very nervous and try to completely get rid of the nerves, you'll fail and feel even more nervous. So it starts with accepting that nervousness is normal and productive and reframing it as excitement. So once you recognize that those nerves are going to stay, but you want to use them in a purposeful way, it's now about connecting with your motivation to speak. And that comes back to the why you that I talked about earlier. What I do before every speech or presentation is I go into a private place, I do practice some purposeful breathing, and then I remind myself why I do what I do, why I care about my work, why I care about the impact it can have on my audience, and why this is important to me. And by doing that, I'm centering myself. I'm reminding myself it's not really about me. It's about my audience. It's about the impact what I have to say will have on my audience. And I'm reframing it away from me onto my audience. And then I'm getting up in the service of my message. The message is the center of attention. I'm simply the vessel. And that, I find, calms people's nerves so that they can use their nervousness productively. It also centers them, and then it gives them confidence to walk into a room because they're there on a mission, as opposed to simply walking in order to look good in front of their peers.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. Kind of on that same line there, what about speaking off the cuff? First of all, I always like to be as ready as possible, but, you know, occasionally maybe somebody says, hey, you know, Allison, I want you to say a few words, or, you know, they all of a sudden somebody asks you to talk off the cuff. Any advice for speaking off the cuff?
I'm with you, and I think at least 50% of the times we're caught off guard, we could have been prepared. And when I think about public speaking and getting caught off guard, it's not simply going to a conference and being put on stage without realizing it. It's walking into a meeting with your boss or with a client and having them ask you a question that you didn't anticipate, so that you could be caught off guard, and that's public speaking. A lot of that,
sure,
you can anticipate in advance and come prepared, recognizing you may have to speak off the cuff. But when it happens and you're caught off guard, there are a couple of techniques that I like to use. The first is having a transition phrase ready. And that transition phrase could be summarizing, saying, you asked about how I feel about this issue. And in summarizing, you're giving yourself time to think. You could also compliment the speaker or the person asking the question. Thank you so much. I'm really glad you asked me to talk about this because this is such a critical issue. And I think all of us should be ... You know, you can summarize and praise forever. Or you can bridge. And people who speak to the media have practiced this technique where you actually don't answer the question, you bridge to another question. So you could say, I'm so glad you asked. That actually makes me think of a related issue that I think we should really be focusing on, which is this. And then you've bridged. So that those are three different types of transitions people use in order to think of what they want to say. Then when you do make that point, I recommend people keep it to one main point with one example. When we're caught off guard, we tend to try to think of too many points, and then we give an example and another example. In the meanwhile, we're rambling in front of our audience. So use those transitions, buy yourself time to come up with one main point and illustrate it with one story. That's how I recommend speaking off the cuff.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love the idea of first of all, creating a bridge. Because sooner or later, you know, eventually somebody might ask you to speak off the cuff. And, you know, listening to you, I don't know why I was reminded of this, but there's a very famous director / producer named Michael Bay, who's very famous. He did a lot of big multi-million dollar movies. Transformers were, I think, the probably the most recent that he's done, but he's done a bunch. And he was asked to speak, not off the cuff, mind you, but he was asked to speak at the I forgot what event the event is called. And so he gets up there and he starts to speak and he starts getting nervous. And he, you know, he did what I think happened is he started giving into his nervousness. And so what happens is that you start, I think you go into the spin cycle where gosh, I'm messing up. Everybody sees me messing up. I look really bad. Oh, I look bad. So therefore I'm, you know, this is going to be terrible, terrible. And so anyway, he started messing up, and instead of just, you know, I guess being cool with it, he just walked off stage. Just abruptly stopped and walked off stage. Now, you can do that because he's not a professional speaker. He doesn't make a living off that. You know, he's a behind-the-camera kind of guy. But what the impact here was, here's a guy that is perceived to be at top of his game. He commands millions of dollars for his services, and people invest millions of dollars into his movies, and yet he, you know, he fubbed and couldn't recover, and, you know, whatever happened in his mind, he decided it was just better to walk off stage. And, you know, my point being to all this is that I think what you said is we all should have something, you know, a bridge, something that if we were asked to speak about anything, we could literally speak about anything, have just a couple of prepared words, and, you know, because you never know.
I haven't watched that particular incident. It's certainly something that fills everyone with terror. The way that I help people prevent it is by having the right notes in front of them so that no matter what happens, whether it's the teleprompter or getting caught up in our nerves, we have a physical lifeline in front of us, a physical crutch that we can lean on in an emergency. And then in the moment, we pause and breathe, take time to pause and breathe, look down at our notes, choose one place on the paper, and start from there. Restart from there. That's certainly a very nerve-wracking situation for anyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. So my producer told me that it happened at the CES show, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. He was doing a conference for Samsung. There was a teleprompter failure, and apparently he walks off stage. So if you Google Michael Bay walks off or walks off stage, there's a bunch of different videos. It's only about a minute, but you have to be prepared. I think that you're right. Look, I think the best thing is to know that whatever could go wrong could go wrong. Teleprompter could fail. All of a sudden, your notes get messed up. Maybe you can't see them because of the lights. You have to know your stuff. You have to know that, okay, everything could go to crap. I better know my material because no matter what, I have to engage the audience.
Correct. Something is going to happen. There are always two versions of every speech. There's the version you write and the version you give. And they are never the same. And it's also a couple other points here. It's important to remember, first, public speaking is a skill. It's not a natural born talent. So even if you're very skilled in another area, you still have to build your skills in public speaking. So the more you practice, the better you get. It's also not about being perfect. So it's not about giving that flawless performance. This isn't theater. This isn't opera, which is something I had to learn, that public speaking, they don't want you to give this perfect performance because that's not what people relate to. We relate to authenticity. We relate to imperfection. So things are going to go wrong. Your audience knows that things will go wrong on stage. And it's not about it all being perfect. It's about being authentic and confident when things go wrong to roll with it, to even own it or name it if you need to. So they're looking for how you handle the situation, not necessarily what happens.
Absolutely. For those of you guys who might remember this gentleman named Johnny Carson, Johnny Carson became famous for not only his bad jokes, but how he recovered from his bad jokes. And it became a thing. It became a thing that if he happened to land a great joke, fantastic. But if he happened to land a bad joke, people were just waiting to see how he was going to recover from it. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was one of my favorite things about Johnny Carson. And again, if you don't know who Johnny Carson is, Google that. And all right. So today we've been talking with Allison Shapira, talking about her latest book with Impact. Speak with Impact. Speak with Impact, how to command the room and influence others. Real quick, I wanted to ask you this. Excuse me. When you were making this transition, here you are, you're a trained opera singer. Were there certain specific techniques from your opera training that you were able to apply to your public speaking?
Yes, there were many. I'll highlight two techniques that I was able to apply. The first is breathing. As opera singers, we learn how to breathe in order to calm our nerves and project our voice. And as speakers, it's just as important, but nobody ever teaches us how to harness the power of our breathing. And when we get nervous, the first thing that goes is our breath. So learning how to breathe, which came very naturally to me as an opera singer as a result of my study, was something that then I was able to help other people with. And that's a huge part of their pre-speech ritual and using their voice to command the room. Breathing was one component. The second technique is around stage presence. Because as opera singers, we learn nonverbal and verbal techniques in order to build our presence so that when we walk on stage, we can command the attention of our audience. again, those techniques are very helpful in public speaking when you're building your executive presence. What do you do when you walk into the room? How do you speak in a way that holds people's attention and makes a positive impression? So breathing and stage presence were two very foundational components that I was able to bring into public speaking.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And what a great thing. That whole breathing thing is so important. I was reminded of, as a birthing coach for my wife, breathing was, that was like a big responsibility to help our, to help her focus on her breathing. It's very important, right? So I love that. Anyway, Allison, thank you so much for stopping by. Looking forward to have you back again.
Thank you. Glad to be back. And people can always learn more about the book at speakwithimpactbook.com. They can also download a free chapter of the book there.
Excellent. Speakwithimpactbook.com. And good stuff there from Allison Shapira, and some great insights on how to not only give a good talk, but to be prepared to give one off the cuff and what to do in case you're flubbing things up, and which is going to happen. As always, my friends, let's share this episode with everybody we know. Let's help everybody deliver a million dollar speech. Yeah, let's help everybody impact others. As always, my friends, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.